Today's reading comes from Exodus 16, verses 2 through 4, Exodus 16, 9 through 15, and John 6, 24 through 35. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh points and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." And Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Lord of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the murmurings of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and the morning dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on their face of wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as a hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." John 6, 24 through 35. So when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they made themselves go into the boats and went to the Capernaum to see Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him as God the Father set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what signs do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from the heavens to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Bless the reading and the hearing.
Thanks be to God.
It's long, but it was powerful, I think. Yeah? Let us pray. Lord, we have opened the scriptures and heard your word. Now we ask, Lord, that you open not only our ears, but also our hearts, so that we can see and feel and sense what you want us to hear and know from these scripture readings. We give you thanks for Jesus, the bread of life. Amen. Well, greetings to you, my friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield Camp and Conference Center staff and ministry team. It is such a pleasure and delight to be here with you. You know, I don't think it would be August, the first Sunday in August, if I wasn't here with you, you know? I said to Cliff, we got a tradition going here, you know, a habit. I am so glad to be here with you. This summer, we had lots of you from Glenshaw Valley up at Crestfield. We had Maddie and her brother Miles Baldwin up there for a week with us, and oh my goodness, have they grown. We had the Permans, we had Heather and Sean and Emma, and then we had the Foglianis too with us, Ann and Carlton and William, and even Grandma. Their grandma came with us this week. And throughout the year, we have had BJ and friends come, so it's really great to be down at your place after sending so many people up to our place. So thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all that you do for Crestfield. And I thank Jesus for this congregation and how you are working so hard to feed this community. You know, camp food often has a bad reputation. Stop and think about it. Mystery meat, we also often hear about up there. Bug juice. Who wants to drink bug juice? You know, that's just two examples of how we get a bad rap at camp about our food. But, you know, honestly, I think if the Permans and the Voglianis would attest to how good the food is at Crestfield. But maybe when you think about camp food, you think about hobo packs, where you take foil and you put chicken and potatoes and vegetables and then you throw them into the fire and eat them. Or maybe you think about mountain pies, pizza mountain pies, where you take bread and sauce and cheese and you put them in a big wire metal thing and put that in the fire and you end up with wonderful pizza. Or maybe when you think of camp food, you think of s'mores, huh? Whether you like your marshmallows flaming or just roasted, when you put those marshmallows together with graham crackers and Hershey's chocolate squares, oh, it's like heaven right on earth. Don't you love s'mores? At camp, food has lots of implications and meaning. Food can mean thanks and gratitude as we develop the habit of thanking the Lord for God's many blessings. Before each meal, we sing our graces at Crestfield. I'm sure you know Johnny Appleseed, huh? The Lord's been good to me. Here's the trick, though, the secret. We don't sing that at camp because every time we do, it pours down rain. So we don't want that rain. We sing grace to tunes like Superman, Thank You, Lord, for Giving Us Food. And we sing grace to Yankee Doodle. And we sing grace even to the Mickey Mouse song. We have songs about food that cause us to laugh and be joyful together. Spontaneously, at least once or twice a week, at any time during any meal, the campers followed by the counselors followed by the campers will break out in singing the banana song. You know, peel banana, peel, peel banana, and then slice the banana, and then eat bananas, and then go bananas! Come on, you have to laugh. The gospel is joyful. On Wednesday, we have chicken patties and mac and cheese, and the campers even sing a song about that. And all the words are chicken patties, mac and cheese, yum, yum, yum. And as we sit at new round tables in our dining hall that really promote conversation, food becomes the means around which we build community in our family groups. At mealtimes, the campers and the counselors talk and laugh and share and draw closer to each other and to Jesus. At the beginning of the week, Sunday dinner, after they first arrive, the conversation is somewhat subdued and even hesitant. But by Monday lunch, the volume is increasing. And by Friday, you just can't get a word in edgewise. They're just talking and sharing so much. At camp, when we are eating, there's also no distractions. We don't have a television in the dining hall. We don't have a computer in the dining hall. And we don't even have cell phones in the dining hall. When camp food is served, we focus on each other, on being in community, and on how much Jesus loves us to provide a meal for us. Camp food feeds us physically. Camp food feeds us spiritually. Yet it doesn't seem to be that way for the Israelites that we read about with their camp food. In the version that I have to read, it's translated camp even, not congregation, but camp. And after 6 weeks of wandering in the wilderness, the grumbling begins. And then it gets louder, and they complain more, and it persists. And these people that have just been freed from slavery, these people of God, it just gets out of control. What did the Lord do to us? Why did he bring us from a place where at least we had food to a place where there is none? You would think that there would be great joy among these chosen people who, after generations of torturous physical labor and lack of freedom to worship their own God, you would think that gratitude would abound. After all, didn't the Lord show how much God loved them through those 7 plagues that convinced Pharaoh to let his people go? Didn't the Lord show those Israelites how much he loved them by causing those waters to separate, allowing them passage, and then having those waters come back so they could not be recaptured by the Egyptians? Didn't the Lord show them how much he loved them by giving them their freedom? And here they are, grumbling about food and wanting to go back to Egypt. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Grumbling instead of gratitude. Doubt instead of trust. All because they were hungry. Not just physically hungry, but spiritually hungry. So as we talk about these Israelites, I would ask that you pause and think about your own life. I am sure there are times that you feel like you are being held captive. I am sure there are times that you feel like you are wandering around in the wilderness. I am sure there are times where there is grumbling instead of gratitude and doubt instead of trust. Can you honestly see that in your life? Yet how is the Lord providing camp food for you? How are you being fed physically and spiritually? I believe that just as the Lord heard the Israelites grumbling, the Lord hears our own grumblings. Just as the Lord drew closer to the Israelites, the Lord draws closer to you. Just as the Lord fed the Israelites with fine camp food of manna and quail, the Lord feeds us faithfully and consistently with fine camp food every day and regularly with all of the blessings and all of the grace that we receive daily. The Lord heard the people's grumblings in the wilderness and sent manna and quail to sustain them. Every day, manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And even when it didn't come on Sabbath, the Lord had sent twice as much the day before. God was really faithful to those Israelites. God loved those Israelites, and every day he sent this stuff, literally called, what is it? Manna, to feed his own children. Through the actions of the Lord, through the wilderness with all its barrenness, its drought, and its deserted space, the Lord makes it a place of abundance and joy and shows his trust and steadfast love because God provided such wonderful camp food for these people, manna and quail. Wonderful food. But it doesn't stop with the manna and the quail. In our New Testament passage for today, we hear Jesus proclaim that he, Jesus, is the bread of life. That if we partake of Jesus, we will not be hungry. We will not be thirsty. We will have eternal life. Now, doesn't that sound so much sweeter than a s'more that has 3 marshmallows and 4 chocolate squares on it? Jesus is the bread of life for each of us. So how's your diet? I'm not talking about how many calories a day you eat, how many carbs, how many proteins, how much fiber. As valuable as it is, and I'm a nurse too, so I know that it's good to have a healthy diet. As valuable as it is to eat healthy food in an environment that promotes relationships with each other and with Christ, my question is, how much of the bread of life are you taking in? How much of Jesus are you taking in daily? Are you reading your Bible monthly? Weekly, daily? Are you taking away time from the crowds to be in prayer? Not just asking for lots of things, but stopping and listening for Jesus' voice through times of quiet and discernment and focus internally. Are you taking time to nourish yourself? Nourish yourself with Jesus, the bread of heaven, the bread of life. At camp, we are constantly eating the bread of heaven. We do it sneakily, but we do it. Because if you tell kids they're going to have Bible 4 times a day, they're just not going to, like, pay attention. But we have morning devotions or morning watch, and we talk about the lesson that is to come. After breakfast, there's celebration, and we sing silly, fun songs, but then we sing praise songs, and a counselor shares their story, how Christ has fed them and been in their lives. After that, we have Bible study. And then in the evening, there's worship. And at the end of the day, there's devotions in our cabins when there is sharing and prayer. Sure, the food in the dining hall and even around the campfire is good. Jessica, our cook, she is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and she takes good care of us, feeding us physically. Yet at camp, we eat more than just what the Lord physically feeds us. We eat lots of food that the Lord feeds us spiritually. Food of prayer and quiet time with God. Food of reading and studying and talking about the Bible together. We share what the Lord says to us in our quiet time. We share that and what is on our hearts with our counselors and our cabin mates. And we draw closer to each other, and through that, closer to God. And all of that is fairly easy on the mountaintop of Crestfield. It's when we come back down the mountain and engage in our everyday world that we have to really pay attention to our diet. You have to eat healthy all the time. And God provides the bread of heaven, Jesus, for us all the time. My friends, this week, eat a diet of manna and quail. Eat a diet of the bread of heaven. Live on the bread of life, Jesus, by studying the Word, by praying, by being in Christian community with one another, and by being recipients of God's promise that you will never be hungry or thirsty again. Camp food, it's really good,
And you don't have to go to camp to have it. Have it at home. Try it this week. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen and amen.